Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After almost a decade and a half of frustration, shortcomings, bad draft picks, questionable free agent signings, the train is back on the tracks, and the only two words that matter this morning are playoff bound.
No doubt. I'm super pleased that we earned our way in. Very happy and proud about that.
Here's the field goal by Janikowski, 45-yarder from the right hash mark, his preferred hash mark, and he's got plenty of distance and right down the middle. Good.
Irving going to chase Rivers down from behind and get a sack.
Here's Derek shotgun looking right, going to lob one for the end zone for Crabtree. He caught it in bounds. No. Out of bounds. Perry's coming out from under the hood here. Touchdown Raiders
or
not?
After doing the play, the right foot was down with clear possession. Then the foot, left foot was down with a slice of blue between the heel.
Touchdown. Touchdown Raiders. He gave him a touchdown. Here's Rivers back on second down. Flushed out. Chase from behind. He got sacked. Back inside the 8-yard, the 10-yard line by Bruce Irvin. Fourth down. Raiders get this play stopped. In less than 15 yards, they will take over. San Diego will have one timeout remaining. Rivers back in his end zone. Gets hit by Irvin from behind. Throws. Intercepted by Reggie Nelson. Go down, Reggie. He wants to run it back. 20. 15, he dives down now, and he goes down. The Raiders have got the game. Derek will take one more shotgun snap from Rodney Hudson. One more kneel, and the Raiders will count it down. It's like New Year's Eve, and Dick Clark is here, Coach. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Raiders are in the playoffs.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go.
It wasn't the prettiest. It wasn't the smoothest. It certainly had its hiccups. That doesn't matter. You don't get style points in the NFL. 19-16 is your final on a road divisional win Sunday for the Oakland Raiders. 11 victories on the season, and more importantly, a locked up playoff spot for the first time since 2002. Lo, if you're a Raider Nation this morning waking up, how much work productivity will businesses around the Bay not be getting today from Raider Nation? Today is celebration.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, trust me, a lot of people took vacation. They stayed in San Diego. You saw it, Joe. I mean, that stadium was absolutely rocking. It wasn't Chargers fans that was rocking it. It was the Raider fans. You saw defensive players throwing their hands up, getting guys fired up. Yeah, I guarantee there is a lot of people in the Bay that are still in San Diego in their hotel room right now, getting ready to start
sleeping
taking
it
their,
off.
Yeah, getting ready to start taking their aspirin and their Tylenol because that hangover. So they partied. They partied, and they rightfully so. Joe, it's been freaking, what, 12, 13 years? So this is freaking an awesome moment to clinch a playoff berth with still 2 weeks left. It feels great to be a Raider fan right now.
Joe Fornball, Lorenzo Neal, and the guru in for Dan Dibley. Guru, how about the fact that yesterday the Chargers gave up on the idea of announcing either their starting offense or defense, something that every team does for every single home game. The Chargers realized that there were so many Raider fans there, they said, screw it. We're not even going to do player introductions. So they came out as a team, and they got booed on their home turf.
When I heard that report, I mean, that's just a defeatist attitude to me. My God, that is your stadium. But they went out and gave it a valiant effort. I consider myself, Joe, a passionate person, so I recognize passion, and there's passion all throughout Raider Nation. I remember the 0-10. We know about the drought. I'm sure there were tears of joy from people at Raider Nation if they were at home with a group of people because they've been through so many damn losing seasons with no direction in sight, and now you have a young quarterback as the face of your franchise along with Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball. There's no telling, and I don't want to jinx it, how good of a run Raider Nation is going to have from this season on, and this season might culminate in a Super Bowl appearance.
More on that in just a moment, but for now, here comes your update.
Well, fellas, it's been 14 years and the Raiders are heading to the playoffs. Oakland beat the Chargers 19-16 in San Diego. And Coach Jack Del Rio, he's a happy camper.
I like to smile and enjoy it, but I also keep the proper perspective. I think it's important for us to do that. But no doubt, I'm super pleased that we earned our way in with the victory today in the division and against a tough opponent. Yeah, so I'm very happy and proud about that.
So with the Raiders win and a Chiefs loss, the Silver and Black regain control of the AFC West. Kansas City falls to the fifth seed. It's a busy Raider Monday today. Marquette King will join us in Studio 915. Derek Carr will be on with JT the Brick at 10:45 this morning. Then Coach Jack Del Rio will join Damon Bruce at 3:30. 49ers, they get crushed by the Falcons 41-13. Niners extended their franchise record losing streak to 13 games. They also got decimated by injuries yesterday. They lost Quentin Patton, Marcus Martin, and Blake Bell. Jaguars fired their head coach, Gus Bradley. Monday Night Football on tap tonight. You got the Redskins hosting the Panthers at 5:30, and the Sharks drop their final game on the road trip 4-1 in Chicago. Sponsored by Novato Chevrolet in Novato. Drive a little, save a lot at Novato Chevrolet. Find new roads. I'm Anna Kagadakis on your home for Oakland Raiders football, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Anna. We are absolutely loaded today. Lincoln Kennedy at 8. Marcellus Wiley at 9, Marquette King in studio at 9:15. He's going to be hanging out. Sean Livingston at 9:45. And as we trickle down through the day, Derek Carr will be with JT the Brick at 10:45. Damon Bruce has got Jack Del Rio at 3:30, Draymond Green at 4:30, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr at 5. Raider Nation, we're going to turn it over to you today. Show up. How does it feel? After all these years, did you ever think it was going to happen? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. You know, Lo, it wasn't pretty yesterday. Getting down first and goal on the 2-yard line, run stuffed, incomplete pass, run stuffed, settle for the field goal.
Yeah.
2 turnovers in the first half inside the red zone. It wasn't pretty by any stretch against the Charger team that's probably the best 55-minute team in football. But yet somehow, some way, the Cardiac Kids found a way. And you had another walk-off defensive effort on that final drive.
No question, Joe. And watching that game in the first half, you're like, oh, my God, are you trying to give this game away? You know, Carr throws another interception. You're like, wow, where is he throwing the ball to? Things that make you say, oh, my God, what are you doing? The turnovers down there, the inability to get into the end zone, you know, on the 1-yard line. Guys just couldn't get in and score. You're just thinking, why are you letting San Diego stick around? You give Phillip Rivers enough chances, enough opportunities, he's going to bite you. You know, so you were sitting there gripping, saying, when are you going to put this game away? But at the nick of time, Bruce Irvin, what he was able to do in the defense, another game where the defense, to me, again, Joe, you know, won that game, played big in big situations. Third down wasn't effective, and we'd like to see them. But in crucial moments, defense played big.
Guru, I moved here 2 years ago. I love it here. But I didn't live here for all the strife. I didn't live here for the down years. I saw them from afar, and I've gone through them on my own. But I wasn't a part of that. Low. Fresno guy, he's got the connections, but he's played all over the place. He had a big career. You have been here through the whole thing. To see how it shook down yesterday, even though it wasn't the prettiest, it was effective. What's going through, man? What are those emotions?
Again, it goes back to McKenzie. I feel like, you know, he has deserved all the credit for this manifestation of winning and a culture now that feels like if we don't play our best game, we'll win. And that's basically the Raiders season in 2016. But to go see something in Jack Del Rio as a leader, a man, a guy that can talk and convey his message to don't quit when you're down, that's basically what's happening. And Derek Carr is going out and basically being an extension of JDR. And the love affair is real between a city and his football team that you hear reports it may be moving. They might be losing it, but the love remains and is beautiful. And I think it's going to propel this team to a deep run in the playoffs.
I get a text message from Lo Neal about 15 minutes before kickoffs. Go heavy on the Raiders, baby. Go heavy on the Raiders, he tells me. Well, beat the bookie on Friday, had the Raiders. Had the Raiders -3, so we counted as a push. But that number dropped to 2.5. But he's texting me.
Yes, when I saw
he's texting me at a very special moment. Right as the Ryan Suckup field goal goes through the uprights and knocks Kansas City out, I'm looking at this going, I got to get more action.
You've got to have more action. The Raider players are probably low kneel. Get on the Raiders. Heavy on the Raiders. Raiders, 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 Raiders. Just going nuts with it. If you're in that locker room, if you're a Raider player and you see what are you doing? Are you going through your warm-up? How do the players see this and do you react to it?
Without a doubt, Joe, let me tell you. You're warming up and you're outside at the stadium and the stadium's full of Raider players. Do you know there was probably a huge roar and a cheer once they saw, because they have the scoreboards in the stadium. So that place probably erupted, and that's why the Raider fans came out in the groves. After they've seen Kansas City goes down to Tennessee, that place just erupted. So you're working out as a player. You're getting ready for the game. You look up at the scoreboard. You see how much time. They flash all the teams, and you're looking. You're scoreboard watching. Absolutely you are. Guys say they don't. Bull crap. I've done it, seen it. Everybody's doing it. Then you come into the locker room, and they tell you, man, Kansas City lost. You don't think Jack Derwill says, hey, man, you don't think that meeting before the game was, man, you guys know what happened. We know what happened. Tennessee took care of business. Right now, guys, we're in soap. All we got to do is go do what we need to do, and we're in first place. It isn't a – bring Marquette King on the show. You bring any of those cats. If they be honest, I guarantee you, coaching staff, that head coach didn't make a lot about it, didn't say a lot about it, but they said, man, just take care of business, and we're in a good position.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think somehow that result of that Kansas City game right before kickoff had an adverse reaction to the Raiders? Because the Chargers act like they got good news when they jumped out to a 7-0 lead and it was 10-10 at half, and we weren't scoring small in the red zone.
The Chargers got good news when they found out Sean Smith was going to be on Travis
Benjamin. Well, there it is. But, exactly. Lowe, you had to be shocked a little bit because I thought, uh-oh, it's going to be 21-0 or, 24-7 here in the first quarter, and it didn't happen. And I was like, I wonder if that news maybe was setting them up for a letdown.
Maybe, you know what, I know that how I would have played, but I just think that it's interesting because I did expect I thought it was going to be one-sided because you see what happened, and maybe sometimes guys get a little tight. You know what happened now. Now you're like, oh, my God, we got this. You're looking at the San Diego Chargers. The San Diego Chargers have no business being on the field with this. They get that. So you got to realize sometimes – This Raider team, the difference between this Raider team and New England and certain teams, certain teams you look at that's dominant, they don't play down to the level of competition. And this Raider team, you saw, they knew they should win this game. They know that Phillip Rivers is good, but they said this is a game we should dominate, and they play down to the level of competition.
John in Concord, thanks for calling the show. We appreciate you waiting on hold. Go ahead, the floor is yours.
Hey, you guys rock. Hey, one thing I see on this team, the competition level that Del Rio is dealing out here, Mac has made Irvin better, and all the other players seem to be, it's like a competitive, it's a good-natured competitive deal with the Raiders. But the team yesterday, Tennessee, kind of played like the Raiders. It was like a heavyweight bout. I watched some of that Tennessee-Kansas City game, and, the Raiders should have won by a couple touchdowns. They turned the ball over twice right there down low. But I said at the beginning of the season, the best thing the Raiders have going for them is Jack Del Rio. They have a leader. And he has a path that these guys are, headed towards. Nobody gets too high. You see the guy on the news conference, Jack Del Rio seems to be the same, whether they win or lose. But, hats off to the Raiders. It's been a long time that they've since they've been in the playoffs. The only thing about yesterday, they did give up the one big play, is if this guy Mario Edwards comes back and gives the defense a little bit of a boost, I don't think there's anything wrong with the offense. They turned the ball over, that's all good, but they were driving the ball. Every time they got the ball, even when it was deep, Murray's running like a man possessed. I think they're really balanced on that, but if they tune the defense up just a little bit, like they say, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But keep it up. You guys do a fantastic job. So, go Raiders.
John, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how much longer it's going to take for Derek's finger to heal up, but once it does and he can get back under center, three shotgun snaps on the goal line late in the game, that's got to change.
Hard to convert.
And they're making do with what they've got, and they're having success, which is all that really matters. But that first round bye, if this finger needs time to heal, that now becomes very crucial for this team heading into the divisional round. It's Monday. It's a Monday following a Raider game. You know how we do it every week at this time.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15, brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. 19-16 is your final. The Raiders are headed back to the postseason with 11 wins and still 2 weeks remaining. Lo, what jumped out at you?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I say Bruce, you say Irvin. Bruce,
Irvin.
Irvin, Bruce, Irvin. That guy was absolutely amazing the other day when the lights were bright and the crowd was roaring and the Raider fans came out by the thousands, 60-some thousand Raider fans, 80% Raider fans. This guy put on a show. Here's the end of the game. Let me have him.
Second and 10, San Diego stops the clock with 2:31 to play. Rivers in the gun. They go 2 by 2. Antonio Gates in the right slot. Over him is Malcolm Smith. Here's Rivers back on second down. Flushed out. Chase from behind. He got sacked. Back inside the 8-yard, the 10-yard line by Bruce Irvin. His second sack of the game.
Bruce was absolutely lights out. He was consistent. He was persistent. And he had his eyes on the prize. And that prize guru was none other than Phillip Rivers.
A lot of passion from you this morning.
Yeah,
you can feel it. You see him go to the playoffs. You know what it feels like. You're probably just reliving all that right now. Guru, what jumped out to you, my man?
That Michael Crabtree reminded us. You know, it's been a bit of a struggle with this play. I don't a little inconsistency, but he reminded us with that beautiful touchdown grab. It's like a ballerina with his feet. To get his feet in there at that juncture of the game was very special, and if he can get some help from AC, Amari Cooper, going into the playoffs, who wants to see, what defense wants to see the Raiders led by Derek Carr?
For me, it's Seabass. It's Seabass, the only player left from the 2002 squad. And how fitting was it that on the day they finally clinched, he went 4 for 4, had an extra point, 13 of the 19 points were his, including the game winner. The last guy left from the 2002 squad, which, by the way, lost the Super Bowl at Qualcomm Stadium. How fitting to go to Qualcomm and get to enjoy that catharsis that comes with winning. It's come full circle. It's a beautiful thing. Raider Monday is brought to you by Antioch Toyota. Go to AntiochToyota.com today. And the Oaks Card Club. Derek Carr will join JT the Brick at 10:45. We are very happy to go to the phones right now to welcome a good friend of the show, 6-year NFL veteran, now with ESPN Radio in Fresno, Cam Worrell, with Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Cam, good morning, and a happy belated birthday, my friend.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. It's got to be a fun day in the Bay today after the Raiders clinched a playoff spot for the first time in forever.
Now, let's start with the upside. This team's got 11 victories, and they control their own destiny as it pertains to both the division and a first-round bye. What do you see as the strengths that could get this team to the Super Bowl? If they get to the Super Bowl, what needs to happen?
Oh, man. Well, you love what they do on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, you anticipate the Patriots having home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. What do you have to do to go there and win in January? You have to be able to run the football. And this team, Derek Carr gets the headlines. You talk about Amari and Michael Crabtree, but they can run the football. They have a very physical offensive front, and that's what wins in the playoffs. For them to get to the Super Bowl, it's going to take the effort that we saw from the front seven yesterday throughout the rest of the season, the two final games of the regular season and into the playoffs. That front seven is going to have to control the line of scrimmage, and they're going to have to make quarterbacks uncomfortable when they're throwing the football. And if they can do those two things, I think a lot of the problems we talk about, secondary issues, mistakes in the run game, all of those can be remedied by that front seven dominating the way that they did yesterday.
Cameron, looking at this team and watching them perform on goal line and short yardage, Carr being in the gun at 5 yards, having a running back another 2 yards behind, what advantages does that give the defense? Because you see them continue to struggle, especially on the goal line and gun.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know as good as anybody, when you're on the goal line, you have a quarterback under center, you have a fullback in front of a running back, you know power football is coming. And with the skill of a guy like Latavius Murray, if you give him a crease in between 22 bodies, he's going to find a place to get a crease and get just a couple of yards or a yard to get into the end zone. When the quarterback's in the gun and now you have a running back sitting at 7 yards, there's a lot more time for a defensive front to get penetration. You know, as a front on the defense, that you can sell out for the run on the 1 yard line because, you know, you're usually matched up in man to man coverage. So your safeties who are down, your linebackers are responsible for tight ends, running backs in the pass game. So, you know, as a front, you can really try to penetrate. Well, when there's a lot of time and space for defensive front to try and get penetration and disrupt things in the backfield, it's an advantage to the defense for sure. Not only that, but there's no threat of a quarterback sneak. Quarterback sneak, one of the best, you know, short yardage plays in football when you have a physical offensive front, especially in that interior. So as a defense, you love when a team goes out of shotgun when they only have 1 yard to go, because it gives you a little bit more time and space to try to disrupt what they're trying to do.
Cam, you played the game. You know what it's like in the secondary. And Sean Smith was a big acquisition in the offseason. And, you know, there have been some big passing plays in him being a part of them this season. If he's your teammate, you know, how do you guys work through that? Do you talk about it? Is it up to the coordinator? How would you handle Sean Smith and his struggles on the big passing plays?
Yeah, I think if you're, you know, in that secondary room with Sean Smith every day, you're trying to help him figure out what exactly he needs to do to remedy some of the things that he has not done well this season. And, you know, Sean Smith is a big physical cornerback. He can run a little bit, but when he is, you know, playing press coverage at the line of scrimmage, there are a lot of guys in the league that if they can make Sean Smith miss, if they can make him open the gate and allow a free release down the field, Sean Smith is not winning that foot race. So if I'm in that room with him, we're looking every day at how he can get his press technique at the line of scrimmage better so he doesn't give those free releases. He gets in a lot of trouble when he uses poor technique at the line of scrimmage. As a coordinator, you have to understand, if you're going to put Sean Smith in a press man situation and he is matched up against somebody like Brandon Cooks, for example, who jumped out the first week of the season, or some other receivers you might see in the AFC playoffs like Jeremy Maclin, then you have to know your deep safety needs to understand Sean Smith is on an island and he is not run fast. He doesn't win at the line of scrimmage. So you have to remedy that technique, or you just play Sean Smith off, give up a little bit on the outside, to not give up those chunk things that he's given up this season.
Cameron, as a defensive guy, I know the Raiders had to love what the Tennessee Titans was able to do to Kansas City. How at 79 is Dick able to get the defense up and play so well against the tight ends?
Man, yeah, you got to, as a Raiders fan, as a Raiders player, how do you not love what Tennessee is able to go in and win in Kansas City? You know, we talked about on the goal line what kind of advantages the defense has when you're faced with an offense working out of the shotgun. When you have guys at the line of scrimmage that can control what's going on, it makes everybody else's job easier. We used to say, you know, we're only as good as the pass rush allows us to be. That pass rush gets home, we're very good cover guys. That pass rush doesn't get home, you know, we're not so good because the receivers are running around the field wide open. It's the same thing when you're sending a run. You have guys who eat up space, who eat up blockers. It allows linebackers and safeties to run free and make tackles. Now you go from a good defense to a defense that starts to dominate the line of scrimmage, starts to dictate what offenses can do in down and distant situations, and you really start to be able to utilize your athletes. At the end of the game yesterday, we saw Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, because you know it's a passing situation. Take over the football game. That's the type of talent that this Raiders defense possesses. And if they're able to win first and second down and dictate what an offense can do on third down, this defense can be very, very good going forward.
Great friend of the program, six-year NFL vet, now with ESPN Radio in Fresno, Cam Worrell with Joe Lowe and the Guru on 95.7 The Game. Cam, dynamite stuff as always. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up with you again soon. And if we don't talk to you before then, happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, to you guys as well. Have fun up there in the Bay. Should be a fun run for the Raiders, man. I'm pumped about it.
You got that right, Cam. Thank you very much.
Woo!
Cam Worrell, one of Fresno State's finest.
Good dude.
Loaded show today. Lincoln Kennedy at 8, Marquette King at 9:15. He's going to be in studio. We're not sure if he's going to wear a shirt. Last time it was just a jacket. It's cold out there, though.
Jacket
cold out
no
there,
shirt?
Kang. You got to worry about your health.
That's Kang. How we came up in here?
We'll tell that story. We'll tell that story next. Sean Livingston's going to be by at 9:45. And then Derek Carr with JT the Brick at 10:45. And Damon's absolutely loaded today. Del Rio at 3:30. Draymond Green at 4:30. Head coach Steve Kerr at 5. All of you on hold. There's a ton of you. JC, Daryl, DJ, Derek, Sal, all of you. We're going full-on phone call segment next. Everybody who wants to weigh in is going to get their time. 888-957-9570. Plus, a very interesting nugget just surfaced about one of our own here in the Bay Area. That'll lead the next segment, Jolo and Dibs, but with Guru today. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Lincoln Kennedy coming up here in about 26 minutes. What's up, Raider Nation? The phones are yours, 888-957-9570. One quick nugget, Christian McCaffrey, the all-world quadruple threat from Stanford, according to multiple reports, will be skipping the Sun Bowl on December 30th to prepare for the NFL draft. I say kudos on the honesty. Leonard Fournette with LSU, well, you know, I kind of have an ankle thing. I don't think I'm going to be healthy. I'm not going to play. You can be honest about it. I'm getting ready for the draft. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You don't want to risk the injury. Very difficult to tell these kids to buy into certain things when they're not getting paid, when the big payday is on the horizon.
It's changed, Joe. It's really changed. You know, I was going to get drafted. I knew I was going to get drafted. And I just wanted to go play in a bowl game. I mean,
you're cut from a different cloth.
Yeah.
The competition from you. No one's going to stop you on anything. You talked about how on that 2-14 Cincinnati team, you were still out there trying to win every single week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's I mean, I'm not mad at them. Trust me, go make your money. But it's just it's interesting, you know. Guys, some guys will just say, "I want to play in it. I'm gonna still go play, even if I'm coming out their junior year." You know, LT. A lot of guys they still play. You know, they just said, "I'm gonna enjoy it, even though if I'm gonna come out early, I'm still going to play that game." So it's just different now. I think now with the money, how it is, and social media, we live in a soft world, Joe, to me. It's just soft, Coach.
R.I.P. Prince, but this is just a sign of the times. We are just as selfish as we can be. I just can't.
But say, Joe,
it's beautiful, Guru.
Yeah,
ahead.
No, but, you know, we are as selfish as ever. And what about McCaffrey's teammates, the brotherhood, the fraternity, to let's go play our last game in a bowl, and to basically be like, you know what, I got a big payday coming up, pal. You guys go out there and do it, and I'll be watching on TV. But hey, it like you said, Joe, at least they're being honest.
Yeah, he's coming out. He's telling you, I'm preparing for the draft. I'm good with it. I also think that there's no other more logical destination than McCaffrey first round to the Patriots. Can you really see it going any other way?
Oh, my God.
Do you see Bill Belichick looking at this guy going, huh, I wonder if I can figure out what to do with Christian McCaffrey?
That would be a match made in heaven.
Of course it would. That's why your boy threw it out there. It's not just looks over here, baby.
Is he
it's
really
not just looks and muscle.
Is he going to be a player on the next level, though?
Hell yeah.
In New England?
Oh,
that guy's getting production out of Danny freaking Amendola.
All right, okay.
I don't know if he can play for Belichick.
Right, everyone says, will he be able to play? Why would you ask that question? Because he's white? Would you ask that question? No, seriously.
Interesting.
No, really.
No, is it a race?
Bigger, stronger, faster in the NFL.
Okay, have you seen him ever get ran down in college?
No, I haven't. And I like his game.
And is the Pac-12, you got to realize, got some speedsters.
I guess I'm holding him accountable for Stanford as a whole, not being as good as that. So I'm just wondering.
It was quarterback play this year. It was when you move from Luck to Hogan, to this year, David Shaw didn't have as much experience at the quarterback position, and as a result of that, the team took a slight step back.
It's perception.
It's okay every once and again to have a down year. It's not easy when you're on these 3- and 4-year cycles with college players. Shaw's still doing a great job. I still like Stanford in that bowl game, even without McCaffrey, but quarterback play, you just need a little bit more development. Young guys, not a ton of experience. It happens.
And not just that, you got to realize, it's that perception. We see guys in the NFL, let's be honest, they're just as racist as anybody else. They look at a guy and they say, this guy can't. No. It's the perception. I'm being real.
But he thought that's where I was going. Right. I wasn't going down that street, but I hear you.
I'm just being real. I can tell it like I see it. I've been in the locker room and people are like, man, I've been there when guys say, that white boy can play. Man, he can play. Look at freaking Danny Woodhead. You can say what you want. Everyone says, how does he do it? All he does is go out there and beat guys in routes. He makes things happen.
Baller.
And so when you look at McCaffrey, that's what my eye test is. I watch him go man-to-man coverage. Joe, we talked about when we had Coach on the show, there's a group of coaches get together.
The McCaffrey Project.
McCaffrey Project. Yeah. Where they get him to run
screens. Really cool.
Yeah. They get him on one-on-one matchups, and he wins. He beats everybody. So when you ask, can he play, you put him in situations? No. Is he a guy that pulls a carry 30 times a game? Is
right,
that what you said?
That's where no. I was. Okay.
He's a guy you move around, let him do what he does, and he'll be a star.
I'm tired of listening to all that hollering. I'm going to Raider Nation. I'm going to Raider Nation. You two hollering about all that. JC in the East Bay, please. JC in the East Bay, the show is yours. Thank you for calling.
All right, man. Yeah, I was born in 1996, man. I don't really remember the last time. I can't recollect any moments when we were in the playoffs in 01. But I've been going to games my whole life, watching Andrew Walter, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Justin Fargus used to be my favorite player. And to see where we are now, man, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember Tommy Kelly got one of the biggest contracts ever. And, I'm just seeing us. Now I'm going to the game Christmas Eve, man. It should be off the chain in the Coliseum Saturday.
What were you feeling like yesterday when that clock's ticking down? What are the emotions going through as that clock's ticking down and you realize you're going back to the playoffs?
You know, man, I kind of just I was expecting us to make the playoffs this year, so it wasn't, like, surreal. So it was really expected for me. So I wasn't too overwhelmed by it.
Appreciate the phone call. DJ in Petaluma, he was at the game in San Diego yesterday. DJ, full update. What percentage would you say? I'm reading it was 80% Raider Nation, 20% Charger fans. How'd you see it?
80% Raiders fans. Man, it was crazy. I'll tell you what, I flew down there for my brother's 21st. We got crazy, crazy. Four hours of sleep. Drove up to the stadium, tailgated, caught the game, went to the airport. Got 3 hours of sleep. Made it to work by 4 a.m., man. It was a wild weekend, but I'll tell you what, a lot of fun. And Lo, guess what? You're not always right. Actually, you're never right, but you were right when they played that field goal of Tennessee Stadium. Oh, man, the fans went nuts. But the game was frustrating to watch. I thought we should have put them away a lot earlier, but we got it done. I'm grateful for that. And real quick, I'll give you my biggest takeaway of yesterday.
Go ahead.
As I was walking out of the stadium, all you can hear was the fans roaring, celebrating that we weren't going to the playoffs. And the way the sun was setting, there was like an orange glow around the stadium. And you look back, and all you hear is, Raiders, Raiders. Yeah. It was so beautiful, man. I'll never forget it. And I appreciate you letting me share that. And thanks, guys.
No, we appreciate you sharing that. I want as many updates as possible from the stadium yesterday, as well as everyone from Raider Nation who wants to weigh in. Derek in New Jersey. Derek in New Jersey, thanks for calling the show, man. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I wish I could have been at the game. I've been paying for DirecTV for the last 12 years to watch this garbage, to be honest with you. From the previous caller, from Jamarcus Russell to the heartbreak against San Diego in the Hugh Jackson era. But it's a great day. A long time coming. Hats off to Bruce Irvin, because I know that he's been asked a lot in the post-game pressures about Mac and how well Mac is doing. He said, nobody asks about me. So yesterday he made a statement, you got to ask about me, and I know he said he's the Robin to Mac's Batman, but with those two guys bookending the pass rush, it will make, hopefully, Mr. Smith's job a lot easier, which is very important. And the second thing is, this under center thing is really becoming a problem. I know somebody brought up a joke, put in McGloin on the goal line just so he can hand the ball off and not be in the shotgun or the pistol, but this thing has to get fixed because it's too predictable. It really is. And I don't know what you think about that, but this, and like you said, the off week, if they do get the bye, will help. But I don't know what the situation is going forward, what the update is from Del Rio, but I'd like to hear your comments. Thanks for taking the call, and it's been a long time coming, fellas. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Derek, thank you so much for weighing in. Lowe's going to answer that question next, as well as a possible update on Alden Smith and all your calls. You keep calling, we'll keep taking them. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Lincoln Kennedy up here in about 18 minutes. It's Joe, it's Lowe, it's the Guru. It's 95.7 The Game.
Let's get crazy.
Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
$1.61. $1.61. That is the cost of a gallon of gas in America the last time the Oakland Raiders were in the playoffs. What's up, Joe Fornball, Lorenzo Neal, and the Guru in for Dan Dibley on this finest of occasions. Your Oakland Raiders headed back to the postseason for the first time since 2002. You are up. 888-957-9570. Raider Nation, let's hear it. Biggest concerns moving forward. We'll go to the call in just a second to address the question from the last caller before the break, Low. People are starting to believe it's a problem, or they feel it might be a problem, constantly seeing Derek Carr out of the shotgun, especially in situations like yesterday where you're first in goal from the two and you end up settling for a field goal. Now, quick aside, that screen pass to Olawale, the 12-yard gain to get down there, that was a thing of beauty.
Big fella.
That was so well designed. So well designed and set up and executed. Beautiful play. But after that, the team bogged down. How big a problem is this going to be out of the shotgun when you're in those short yardage situations?
Huge problem, Joe. This is that caller who's spot on. It is a huge problem because when you're in the shotgun and the tailback's another 2 yards behind, use that seven yards deep. Now, if you're trying to turn around or hand the ball, the defensive line, they are submarining. They're getting push. You can't hold them out. That's why when the quarterback's under center, the running back's getting a full head of steam and he's able to hit it. So all the quarterback's doing is reversing out or just opening up, and it's a quick hitter. So you have time to get that quick push. The running back can either over the top or he can find a little crease. When you're at 7 yards deep and you can't get going, you got to delay. Now, the guys on the front, they're stalemate. Now the defense is starting to penetrate. Now linebackers can run through gaps, run through holes, and it's hard to get any push. They are going to continue to struggle when they're in the short yardage and goal line, especially when they're in the gun. Now, what you have to do. When you're 10 yards out, you have to make sure you try to score quicker into in that red zone. So at the 10-yard line, you need to go play action, double moves, get guys going trips. You got to try to go for the end zone early because on the goal line, Joe, it's just going to be hard and it's going to be crowded in there.
But if this team has the second best offensive line in football behind the Cowboys, as we hear, would it be that crazy to put in McGloin and let the other team know, damn it, here we come, we're running downhill, stop us. To put in McGloin so they could be under center and have that power running game be effective as opposed to have Carr in the shotgun, Low, because six trips to the red zone yesterday resulted in one touchdown. That's a problem against a defense, to me, that quit, a team that's quit, and they barely won. We'll take it. But, Low, is that just absurd to think you would bring in McGloin and be like, I don't care, you know we're running, but it's coming from under center or the I formation or no?
I don't know if it's absurd, but here's the thing you have to look at, Guru. So now you're asking a guy who has no feel of the game, no game flow, to step underneath, to be on the sideline, run into a game in that situation, get underneath, and now he's got to get into center. You can't practice it because you don't have any practice snaps. Now he's got to get underneath that center when the center's been snapping along all day. Now step underneath there, and you just have too many. Sometimes it's just a risk. It's not worth the reward, so I don't see them doing that.
Yeah, plus you're already telegraphing the play. If everyone knows it's coming, what's the advantage of making the switch? At least in the gun, they might throw the football. Yesterday, there was a 3rd-and-1 late in the game where the Raiders were trying to convert, and you even heard the broadcast team. The Chargers had 9 in the box. You got to check out of that play. You got to check out of that play because, Latavius got stuck.
Oh, man.
You didn't have enough protection. It's just math. 9 defenders in the box. We don't have 9 to match up. We get stuffed. Okay, punt team. No.
But that's why you can't do it. That's what makes it hard, Joe, in the gun. Because even if I got 9 guys in the box and I'm going to have my guard and center double team, and now I know the safety's outside and I know my safety's going to be playing, I know he's a free hitter. Now what you do is you make that block where you're pushing out toward him, so you're creating that angle where he's free, but he's out of the play. So those are the things you can do under center, suppose in a gun. When you're in the gun, even if he's free, he can run over the top, run through holes. It's just too hard to do once you're in the gun.
161, that's what a gallon of gas cost the last time the Raiders went to the playoffs from Beaver Boy. 161 is how much Guru wants to pay for a drink at the bar.
Yeah, that's about it. Low numbers. $1.61.
To the phones, Mary in Santa Rosa. Mary in Santa Rosa, what were you doing in 2002 the last time the Raiders went to the playoffs?
Oh, my God. In 2002, I was getting my teaching credential, and I went to the Monday night Raiders-Jets game. And now In 2016, I'm an elementary school principal and a season ticket holder in club level, Eastside Club. And it's so exciting. The Raiders inspire me. I love Jack Del Rio. He's the best.
So you done came up in the world since the last time the Raiders were in the playoffs.
I know. It's come true. So
principal.
All the kids at school, all the kids at school today, they're going to be like, she's in a good mood because the Raiders won. It kind of like dictates my week a little bit.
A's for everybody.
I'm in the minority at school. We have a staff of like 40, and I'm one of three Raiders fans. So it's always like a little bit rough when they're not doing well. And then real quick, I also want to point out, I don't know if anybody's brought this up, but the Raiders did outscore the Patriots yesterday. So they have the momentum, and the Patriots are lacking it.
Marian Santa Rosa, we appreciate the call. Keep doing what you're doing as a principal over there. That Denver game. Ooh, they got some problems in that locker room.
Yeah, they do.
And they should have.
I mean, damn.
I guess, oh, no. Yeah. They should have them. They should
the
have
the hot
problems.
Takes come when the light's on, and then the comments about how it should be on the technical
But you know what's
stuff
funny about Denver
off.
Is they rolled the dice with the old guy, and it worked. It got him a Super Bowl, and then, you know, Elway was probably feeling himself. Now we'll go young, and it's just bad right now.
They can't even get Paxton Lynch on the field.
It's bad.
What are you doing? That's a first-round pick. You can't get him out there. Tony Romo. You want to win? That's the blueprint. Go call Romo. Unless, of course, Guru, it's time to bring Romo back in Dallas.
Romo's going to look like Joe Montana this offseason for teams that are on the cusp of getting something done that have issues like the Broncos at the quarterback position.
Chase in San Diego, thanks for calling the show. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Go ahead.
So I just want to say two things. I want to talk about this game coming up this weekend. But I want to mention where I was in 2002.
Go ahead.
In 2002, I was 18 years old. I was homeless. I was addicted to drugs. I grew up a Raider fan, but I kind of lost sight of it because obviously when you're on the streets, you don't really care that much about football. But now 15 years later, I got two kids at home. We own a home. I'm a human resources professional. You know, I make six figures, and I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to explain of how far I've come. And the Raiders have
Bless
been a
you,
huge
brother.
Part of my sobriety, a huge part of my sobriety. I got sober in 2006, and for anyone that's in recovery, you know, the one of the hardest things about staying sober is filling that void of just having something to look forward to, you know, having something to clear your mind, having something to get, to take you away for a few hours, and that's what football is for me. It's a way where on Sundays I can escape, and I am so happy, man, and feel so blessed that not only are we going to the playoffs this year, but when you look at this team and the character of this team, anyone who knows football knows we're going to be good for at least 5 years, right? This should be a trend for the next 5 years. So that's one point I wanted to make. So, you know, I'm on cloud nine. The second point, though, is this, is obviously Carr's pinkies, his pinky is a problem. But, you could throw Matt McGloin in there. I think that would create some liabilities big time. His pinky is a problem, and it's probably not going to get better before the end of the season. So this is what I would do. If we're inside the five, I go wildcat. I go wildcat inside the five. If we're at the five or outside the five, I go five wide set. Because when Carr is in a five wide or four wide and one tight end, he's money. He's money down there. Let him sling the ball. But there are some issues with our defensive backs, man. And, you know, this game this weekend, this is going to be a tough matchup for a couple reasons. One, the Colts defense, they've gotten a lot better the last few weeks. They're not a pushover. I still think we can score on them, but they're not a pushover. And two, Andrew Luck's going to eat that secondary up. The speed the Colts have on their team, you know, the thing is with Andrew Luck is if you push him outside the pocket, I mean, you know, Mac's great. Irvin's, you know, he's good in pursuit, but Luck can run. He's like a Rivers-Mariota hybrid. And who's going to cover T.Y. Hilton? Because I called it a couple days ago. I told my stepdad, look, this is what I would do if I were the Chargers. I would line Benjamin up against Sean Smith. And I would let him eat Sean Smith up, just like Brandon Cooks did against the Raiders back when we played the Saints in Week 1. So, you know, it's a huge concern to me, this game coming up. I got the player's mindset. Last night I was celebrating, but today I'm kind of on to the next one. And it's critical that we win out. It's critical. The reason we need a first-round bye is because if we don't have that first-round bye, most likely where we're going to play is we're either going to play in Tennessee, Pittsburgh, or Baltimore that first game, right? So it's kind of looking like, because the Patriots have the Jets at home next week and then Miami on the road, it's kind of looking like the championship, the road to the championship goes through Foxborough anyways. But if we have to play two cold weather games, I think our chances could be slim with that pinky. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Chase, thank you for sharing your story with us. It's powerful stuff. Yeah. Puts things in perspective really as
does.
Well, too.
Really does.
Fantastic phone call. Mike and Napa texting in. I was in Iraq watching the playoffs and Super Bowl the last time the Raiders were in the playoffs. Talk about time difference.
Wow.
Quickly on Alden Smith, because people are asking about that tease. Khalil Mack yesterday has a celebratory photo up on Instagram. I think it may have been a video. I'm not really sure. But he had something up on his Instagram account. People are weighing in. Alden Smith, verified account, chimed in on the feed, just saying, I'm back. Now, there hasn't been any news or any report surfacing that Alden Smith's officially been reinstated, but are we supposed to make something of that? Is it possible he's just hoping he's back? Is it possible he's thinking he's back? Is he talking about something else?
I don't think so. I think that you got to realize he was eligible 2-3 weeks ago. The league said, you know what, let's go and take our time with it. You've been, you know, we saw that video. We didn't do much about it, but they're taking their time. He met with Roger last week. Maybe he's back. I mean, I don't know why you would put that out if you're not back.
Well,
we'll see.
I don't know why you'd put out a Periscope video smoking weed either.
Well, there
but you
go.
Did.
And
let's
maybe
be honest.
He got letter that, you know, said don't say nothing until we release it. But could you imagine him back at this juncture in the season? Man, you talk about just ingesting the speed.
An infusion
it's perfect. Tom Brady, they're probably nervous of this news. They're watching this news, hoping he doesn't come back, Alden Smith.
This team, the Denver game, I'm not worried about Indianapolis. I'm going to tell you that right now. You got to take it seriously.
I wasn't worried about the Chargers, Joe. Then look what happened.
Good. That's a divisional game. They're in San Diego.
It was a home game.
They had already beaten them. It's very difficult to beat the same team twice in 1 year. Ask New England and their problems they've had with Miami over the years. Buffalo in recent years as well. Back in the day with the Jets. It's very difficult, no matter how good you are, to beat the same team twice in 1 year. All right? The Raiders shot themselves in the foot repeatedly yesterday. They left San Diego in it, and that was Phillip Rivers almost came through. Indy is not a very good team. All right? Yesterday, Minnesota showed you how bad they are, number one. But number two, that was in a dome. Now you're going to take Indy and Luck and these guys outside. That defense is old. That defense is slow. That defense is not very good. That's a bad combination for this team. The game to watch is the Denver game, not because of the implications for the playoffs. That's important. But it's important because this team needs to get into cold weather, and they need to find a way to play well in cold weather. It's a small sample size, but Derek Carr's 0-3. When the temperatures dip below 40 degrees in the NFL, and not only that, that team looked very uncomfortable at Kansas City on Thursday night. I'm not reading too deep into it. I'm just saying I'd like to see week 17 in very cold weather in Denver just to see how these guys react, because you might end up at Foxborough, or if things turn on you, you could end up at Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Those are not friendly places weather-wise come playoff time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.